appreciate the songs you led, Eric. It's certainly great to focus upon how great God is and how we need His guidance in this world. I mean, this world is so crazy, it seems, anymore. It's great to focus upon a God who's able to guide us and bring us on towards heaven, our home. This morning, when you ever talk to people about the Bible, if you ever have any type of a lengthy discussion with them, it's inevitable you're going to come up, you're going to talk at some time, some point in the discussion about the devil. In a religious discussion, he always comes up. And a lot of people, they always tell you about what they think about Satan. And something that else always comes up. Excuse me, my slides aren't working. Is this idea of Lucifer. And they'll talk to you and tell you all the things that they know about Lucifer and what they've always believed about Lucifer, this man or this individual called Lucifer in the Bible. And the world has some incredible stories about this individual, Lucifer. Let me just say this morning, as I begin my lesson, that Lucifer is not the devil. He is not Satan. He never was and he never will be. And I want to prove it to you this morning and look and see where all this misconception of who this Lucifer guy is, where it got started. And who is this Lucifer? He was real. He was a real person. But he's not the person many believe he was. And as we begin our study this morning, I'd like us to look at a few warnings, a few guidelines, if you will, that are extremely important if we're to see the truth on this matter. I have three warnings that I'd like us to look at before we begin. And I'd like you to keep these in thought as we go through this lesson this morning. Warning number one, we need to be careful of accepting as truth what you've always believed. We accept many things in life as truth with seemingly no proof whatsoever. We just believe it to be true without a shred of evidence because just everybody else does. Everybody believes this fact, so it must be true. How did you feel when you were told the truth about the Tooth Fairy or about Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny? But they were so real to you as a child. You believed them to be true, but they were fake. They were not real. But my parents and my grandparents told me these things. It must be true, and I believe them. Or I've seen it on TV. I've seen it with my own eyes on television. It must be true. Everybody believes it to be true. They saw it too. I'm here to tell you this morning, people. People lie. They tell things that are not true. They misguide people. They pass along these beliefs to others, and they get them to believe it as well. And it sounds so convincing. They lead people to believe something is true when it's not. Beware. Just because you've always believed something doesn't mean it's true. The second warning, when studying a biblical topic, remember context, context, context. We're talking about the verses surrounding the verse you're looking at. To get the whole story of what's taking place. Who is he talking to? When is this going to take place? When will it happen? Or what will happen? A verse by itself means nothing. We've got to look at the context of the verses. An example, in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. In Exodus 20 and 8, Moses, as he was receiving the commandments from the Lord, one of the commandments that God gave to Moses when he was on the mountain was to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. Who was God talking to? Who was this law supposed to be applied by? We see in verse 22, he's talking about the children of Israel. He's talking to the children of Israel. This is who this law applies to. He says to the Jews of the time, he says, "Thus shall you say to the children of Israel." He's not talking about us today. Yet there are people that go around saying that he does. They remember the Sabbath day. We see Seventh-day Advent churches all over the country, all over our communities in which we live. But that's not who God was talking to. God was talking to the physical descendants of Israel. He was not talking to us today. In fact, in Galatians chapter 3, verses 24 and 25, we see here Paul says, here's what the old law was meant to be for us as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ. The old law had a purpose. But what was that purpose? In Galatians chapter 3, notice in verses 24 and 25. He says, "Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster." The old law was to bring us to Christ, was to bring us to give us to faith. The laws that were commanded under the Old Testament law was not given to us. Take another example in John chapter 16 and verse 13. In John chapter 16, Jesus says that the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truths. Well, who's the you he's talking about there? Many people think that the Holy Spirit is actively in their lives. They're performing miracles and things by the Holy Spirit who is guiding me. Who is Jesus talking to in John chapter 16 and verse 13? Again, go back to the context. The context, in order to see who he's talking to, you got to go back to chapter 13 and verse 22. The context was Jesus was there with his disciples performing the Last Supper that he had with them. So his 11 disciples were there with him as he spoke these words. Jesus said, "The Holy Spirit will guide you." The 11 disciples, not us, the 11 disciples back then in those times, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truths. But people get all these things twisted around. They begin to demand things of people that God never intended them to be, or expecting things to happen that God never intended to happen in our lifetime. And yet they get everyone else so confused. The second warning I give us this morning as we look about this topic of Lucifer is, when studying the Bible topics, remember context, context, context. And the third warning I have is to be careful when using an English dictionary to define biblical words, because they're not always the same. Words change in meaning. We see that in just a few generations. The word gay. Back in my parents' day, everything was gay. Everything was happy. That was the context, or that was the definition of the word gay, was happy. You see a lot of the word gay in a lot of the songs that they sang in that time period. Yet today we see the word gay means something totally different. It now means that you're a homosexual. The word baptize used to mean immersion only. That's all. How anyone ever baptized was through immersion only. Now we see the dictionary says it's to sprinkle, to pour, or to dip. Or some even have all kinds of other things. I've seen baptisms, quote, baptism performed with all kinds of other different methods. But what did the word mean when it was written? How we define a word today may not be the way it was intended when the writers of the Bible. Case in point, our word Lucifer this morning. If you look in an English dictionary, it says a proud and rebellious archangel, or the planet Venus. If you look in the American Heritage Dictionary, he goes a little bit further. He says, a name in Christianity for the leader of the devils who was cast out of heaven. This is the most accepted definition of Lucifer in the world today, based on what they've always believed, not necessarily the real definition. Dictionary definitions are based upon what people believe the word to mean, what people believe it to mean. All the guy that writes a dictionary says is he makes a collection of what the definitions of these various words, these people believe the definition of these words are, and then they write them down. Dictionaries are based upon what they believe, how they believe it, and how they use it. Not necessarily the real definition of the word. So we need to be careful when we go into an English dictionary to define Bible words. Dictionaries are written by men. Now with these warnings in place, I'd like us to keep these in front of us. I'm going to have to change the slides, but keep these warnings in front of us as we go through our lesson this morning. And let's look at Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12 in light of what the Scriptures reveal about this one called Lucifer. I invite you now to Isaiah chapter 14, and let's look in verse 12. First of all, here's some various versions of the Bible and how they translate this passage here. For instance, in the King James Version, you'll find, if those of you that have it in our audience this morning, you'll see, "How thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how thou art cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations." The New King James Version, pretty similar to it, but, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, who weakened the nations." The Revised Standard Version writes a little different. He says, "How are you fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn? How are you cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low?" The American Standard Version of 1901, "How thou art fallen from heaven, O day star, son of the morning, how thou art cut down to the ground and didst lay low the nations." The New American Standard Version, "Now, how have you fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of dawn? You have been cut down to the earth, you have weakened the nations." And lastly, the New International Version reads, "How have you fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn? You have been cast down to the earth, you who were once laid low." All these different versions all claim to have gone back to the original text, which they did, the original manuscripts, but they somewhat translated these words a little different. Why the difference in all the versions? They all went back to the original manuscripts. So why is there a difference in the translations? This brings us to the word, to the Hebrew word that they all translated from to get the word Lucifer. In the Hebrew word, back in the original language, in the Hebrew tongue, I know nothing about the Hebrew language, but this little bit was taught to me. When the Hebrew language was written, there were no vowels at all. There's no vowels in the Hebrew language. It's up to the translators to put in the vowels to anglicize the words into how we can look at them today. And the original Hebrew word in the Hebrew text is H-Y-L-L. In fact, Hebrew is written left to right, so it would have been L-L-Y-H, but put it in the proper perspective in the English, it would be H-Y-L-L, the way we read it, from left to right. And they put in the vowels H-E-Y-L-E-L. To make it, to anglicize it, so to speak, so we could pronounce the word that they had. And they defined that word as a shining one, a morning star, or a day star. Well, how did they get Lucifer out of H-E-Y-L-E-L? And how did they get leader of the devils out of a shining one, a morning star, or a day star? How did Lucifer, this word Lucifer, get into the Bible? It was first mentioned in Scripture in a translation at about 400 A.D. in a man called Jerome. He wrote what they call the Latin Vulgate, Jerome's Latin Vulgate. Jerome was a scholar who was commissioned by Pope Damascus in 382 A.D. to revise the old translations of the Bible and into modern Latin language. That was the language of the Roman world at the time. So he translated the Bible from its original language, went back to the original manuscripts in Hebrew, and he translated into the Latin version, commonly the language of the common day. So the word Lucifer was derived from two Greek words, lux, meaning life, and pherer, meaning bringing. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing these right, but that. And so you add those two together, lux plus pherer, Luciferos, bringer of light, also translated Venus, as in the planet Venus. It's interesting that it was first translated in his first writings. Jerome translated the word H-E-Y-L-E-L as Venus, as a star, as a planet in the solar system, because Venus is known as the morning star in astronomy. If you study that, you talk about to people that study the stars, Venus is, they consider Venus as the morning star, and the reason they do that is because it's the last star in the morning to fade away. When the sun comes out in the sky and the sky brightens up, Venus is the last star to fade away. Many fade away a lot faster, but Venus, because of its brightness, stays bright and is the last star to fade away in the morning. Thus, it's given the name the morning star. But later, Jerome changed it in the Vulgate to Lucifer. And so this is the first place that this name Lucifer is brought into the Bible, and we saw in later translations, the American Standard, the New American Standard, and others, They've translated it as day star or morning star or bringer of morn. So who is this? That's where it came from. That's how we got this word Lucifer in the Bible. It came from a man named Jerome in about 400 A.D. or thereabouts. He was the first one to put Lucifer in the Bible. But who is this guy? We see this name in the Bible, but who is this bringer of morn? Who is this Lucifer that's talked about in Isaiah chapter 14? Well, let's go to Isaiah chapter 14 and let's look at the context. Remember, I told you, when we look about Bible subjects, let's look at the context. Well, let's look at the context where this word is found, this Lucifer is found, and let's see who he's talking about. In the context of in Isaiah chapter 14, and verse 12, he says, verse 12 is the verse that Lucifer is made. He says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations?" That was from the King James Version. Well, who is this Lucifer that he's talking about? Notice in verses 3 and 4, again, the context of Isaiah. When Isaiah wrote these words, notice who he was talking about. Notice in verse 3, it says, "It shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou hast served you, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how shall the oppressor cease, the golden city cease?" We see here in verse 4, Isaiah is commanded to tell these words about the king of Babylon. When the day comes, you tell about the king of Babylon and all the things surrounding him. And so when we get to verse 12, we see the king of Babylon is referred to as, "O Lucifer, O day star, O son of the morning." Notice in verse 16, again, within the context of what he's talking about, he says, they that see shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, "Is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake the kingdoms?" He's talking about a man here. He's not talking about an angel. I thought Satan was an angel, that the devil was an angel. No. Isaiah here is talking about the king of Babylon. He's talking about a man, not some angel. And in the context, in verse 12, you could just as easily put the word in, "O day star, a light that shines so brightly, a bringer of morn, you morning star." All the greatness that the king of Babylon had at one time. How people looked up to him as their Savior, looked up to him as their deliverer. And then we come to verse 16, when he's taken down. And they look upon him now, and they see that narrow look upon thee, and consider thee, saying, "Is this the man that made the earth tremble and did shake the kingdoms? Is this the same man that we looked upon as our day star, as our brightness and our deliverer?" God says, "I will cut him down." Notice in verses 13 and 14. "For thou hast said," again speaking of the king of Babylon, "thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud, and I will be like the Most High." The king of Babylon was cut down because of his pride. In verse 15, Isaiah says, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." God will bring you down. You will meet your doom. Notice verse 19. "But thou art cast out of the grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, go down to the stones of the pit as a carcass trodden under feet." This great man, the king of Babylon, God says, "I will cut you down." All that look upon this king will look upon him and saying, "Is this the same man?" They're not talking about some angel. He's talking about a man. "Is this the same man that made the earth to tremble and did shake the kingdoms? That made the world a wilderness and destroyed cities that opened not the houses of prisoners? Is this really the same man that we're looking at?" This is what the context reveals about this Lucifer. He's not the ruler of devils. He's the ruler of Babylon. But people say, "I always believed he was the devil, that he was the ruler of wickedness." Doesn't matter. The Bible says different. Which will you believe now? Will you believe what you've always heard, or you believe what the Scriptures teach? The context of Isaiah chapter 14 reveals that this Lucifer, this day star, is the king of Babylon, not the devil. It's interesting. Some interesting passages relating to this. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 22. Someone else is referred to as this day star. Very interesting. Revelation chapter 22. Notice verse 16. It says, "And I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root of the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star." You could put Lucifer in there the same way, same word. Jesus calls himself the bright and morning star. Is Jesus Satan? Does that mean Jesus is the devil? That he's the leader of the demons? Instead of God sending him to earth to die for our sins, was it that God cast him out of heaven because of his rebellion, as the story goes with Lucifer? Is this what really happened? Jesus, all these years, is really Satan in disguise? Is that what you believe? This is not what the Scriptures teach on the matter. Jesus is this bright and morning star, just as the king of Babylon was at one time. They came to bring light to the world. Nebuchadnezzar, the light in regards to conquering and taking over the people. But Jesus considered himself this bright and morning star as well. Now we've got some problems. The two don't mesh. But not only that, look at another passage in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. Peter writes, "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts." Again, same word. You're going to listen to these words of prophecy, Peter says, until the day star, until Satan arises in your hearts? Then what? Peter, what are you talking about? Peter just leaves it. He drops it. Is this what Peter is talking about? We listen to the Scriptures, to the words of prophecy, until Satan comes into our hearts? Is that what he's talking about? Is that what he means? Or do we listen to these words until our hearts are enlightened, as a bright star shining in the sky at the beginning of a new day? Which makes more sense? We'll listen to these words of prophecy that Peter's talking about because as he continues on in the context of verse 19, he says, verse 20, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time, but by the will of man. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." That's why I believe that the prophecies of the Scriptures, that's how they can be a bright and shining star in our lives or in our hearts. It's because they didn't come from man. They came from God. Well, which will it be? Either you believe the Bible, that Lucifer is talking about the king of Babylon, or you've got a lot of confusion going on. Words of blasphemy going on. If Lucifer is talking about Satan, then who is Jesus? If Jesus is Lucifer, the ruler of the devils, please explain to me in Luke chapter 4. Let's go there for a moment. If Jesus is this one Lucifer, this ruler of the devils, this Satan himself, in Luke chapter 4, let's look at in verses 2 through 13. Luke chapter 4, begin in verse 2. He says, "Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him into a high mountain, showed him unto all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for it is to delivered unto me, and to whomever I will give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine." And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him in a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from thence. And for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Who is tempting Jesus here? Is Jesus tempting himself? If Jesus, who was called Lucifer, is he tempting himself? Look at in verse 41 of the same chapter. It says, The devils came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. Why did the devils, if Jesus was this Lucifer, why did the devils call him the Son of God, the Son of Jehovah? Please explain to me why Jesus went about casting demons out of so many people. These demons totally possessed people. They were under Satan's control. Why did Jesus undo all of this? This is what Satan wanted. It's confusing to me. Why go through all the trouble to possess someone and then undo everything that you just did? Is it any wonder why people are so confused about the Bible? In one place they call Lucifer the devil. In another place the Bible calls Lucifer the Son of God, Jesus. The Scriptures must have precedence over everything else. This is the beginning of true knowledge. Knowledge from God. It's a simple concept, yet vital to one who is trying to please God. Do we believe God or do we believe man? Now, who do you believe Lucifer was? Based on the words of God or on man? Our eternal destiny will determine or will be dependent upon what we believe. Will we believe man or will we believe God? A very important principle here. Man says, just have to believe in Jesus to be saved, that's all there is. The Bible says different. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, Jesus says, He that believeth and is baptized will be saved. Who will you believe, man or God? The Bible says in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, the Apostle Paul commands all men everywhere to repent. That's the same thing Peter told the Jews in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, to have their sins forgiven. They must repent. Man says, all we have to do is pray and we'll be forgiven. Who will you believe, man or God? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 13, Jesus talking about to his disciples about the persecutions that they must suffer. He says, He that endures to the end will be saved. The world says, once you're saved, you're always saved. You can never be lost. Who will you believe, man or God? The subject we looked at today teaches us a very important principle that will guide us in our lives. Will our lives be guided by man and what they say, or God and what I've always believed? Will it be what I've always believed, or will it be what the Scriptures reveal as truth? Which will it be? The salvation of our souls? Will we leave it to man, or will we leave it to God? In Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, the Bible says that we must believe and be baptized. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, the Bible says that we need to repent of our sins. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, the Bible says we need to confess Jesus before men. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 13, the Bible says we must live faithful to God. Will we believe the Bible? Or will we believe men? Which will it be? Will it be salvation or will it be damnation? Will you come expressing your faith in Jesus today as the Son of God, the Savior of the world, if you've never done it? Will you come confessing this belief before men, come repenting of your sins, turning your life back around, turning from your sins, turning to God. Will you come be willing to be baptized in water and to wash those sins away? And will you be willing to live faithful to our Lord and Master until we die? If we've already made this commitment but went back on our promise, that promise we made to God that we'll be faithful unto death, we went back into a life of sin, will you come repenting today? Get back to serving the Lord before it's too late. The Lord's invitation is extended to you this morning. Whatever your situation is, will you answer His call today? Answer it with a yes as you come while we stand and sing.